So it was very close to very serious events, and it took its course on the fate of the gambler.
So when this opera is getting ready to be performed, all kinds of things are, in a way, conspiring against it. There's the political situation. How do the singers like it?
That's an interesting question. There was a revolt on the part of the singers who refused to sing a vocal lines written by the young Prokofiev, whom they considered to be a little boy.
Oh, dear.
And then there was an intervention by the famous director Meyerhold to straighten up the singer. Somehow the problem was settled down. But the main problem was, of course, that the opera was scheduled for the rehearsals were scheduled for the beginning of 1917, mm-hmm. January, namely, and the performance was planned for February, March. And of course, then the Russian Revolution took place, and all the plans went upside down. Within the Mariinsky Theater, it was a big turmoil when the principal conductor of the theater resigned and left for England, and The Gambler was cancelled.
Yes. And how long did it remain unperformed?
It remained unperformed until 1929, but it happened already outside Russia, in Belgium, in French translation. By the way, Prokofiev wrote the second version of the opera, more mature section, version. But the performance was unsuccessful. And until much later, after the death of Prokofiev, the opera was performed in Moscow and Leningrad. In 1974, it was performed by the Mariinsky Theater. In 1975, it was brought to Metropolitan Opera for the first time.
The year that you left the Soviet Union was also the year of its first performance.
That's right. That's why I didn't hear the opera as a whole, but I'm hoping to compensate for it today.
Music from Act 4 of The Gambler by Prokofiev, coming to you this afternoon from the Metropolitan Opera. You're hearing it on CBC Radio 2. I'm Bill Richardson, pleased to have Dr. Alexander Tumanov as my guest. So this piece, the opera, The Gambler, is based on the novella by Dostoevsky. But does it diverge, the opera, I mean, does it diverge much from the original property?
That's a very interesting story, because the differences between Prokofiev and Dostoevsky were very, very serious differences. First of all, it was the difference of personalities. Dostoevsky was very unhealthy person. He has an epilepsy and the ensuing mental problems. At the same time, Prokofiev was very mentally healthy man, young man, full of energy. Mm-hmm. And it definitely feels in the treatment of the plot. Whereas Dostoevsky made absolute and ultimate tragedy and drama, Prokofiev made a lot of sarcastic, sardonic, and very energetic statements about what was going on. The novel was traditional, realistic novel of the 19th century. The opera was a modernistic piece of work of the 20th century.
Dostoevsky was long dead by the time this came along, but Mrs. Dostoevsky was still around, was she not?
She was, and there is a funny episode between Prokofiev and his widow. He contacted her before the scheduled performance of Mariinsky Theatre.
That is, Prokofiev contacted Mrs. Dostoevsky.
Yes. Yeah. To settle down the permission of using the text. And Mrs. Dostoevsky demanded such a colossal compensation. She wanted to have 20% of all the profits from the present performance and all the future performances in the world.
She was shrewd.
She was shrewd. It was settled somehow, and the work started.
You made the point, Dr. Tumanov, that Prokofiev wrote 8 operas, and I guess War and Peace fairly often performed, Love for Three Oranges, we know. This one, does it work?
Oh, I think it works excellently.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the traditions which were set up by this opera, I mean Prokofiev's traditions, are felt in all the consequent operas. But, of course, Prokofiev went through very serious and interesting development during his creative life. He was faithful to the principles of his first operas, but he acquired more clarity and lyricism in his following operas. If we listen carefully to The Gambler, we will find the elements of lyricism in this opera too. For instance, I invite everybody to pay attention to the very beginning of the opera, where the first melodic developments are connected with the love of Alexei to the ill-tempered Pauline.
The general's daughter.
The general's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And this elements of lyricism, it's things which were developed in Prokofiev later. At the same time, by the way, speaking about expressionism and the complications of the style, Prokofiev at the same time composed two pieces which were, in one hand, following the tradition of The Gambler, and in the other hand, they were different already.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean the tale of the ugly duckling.
Yeah.
And the classical symphony. Classical symphony was written on the same year, in the same year as The Gambler. And how different it is. It's a music with full clarity, of course, typical Prokofiev's energy and optimism, and there are no wrinkles on the face of this music.
That's a nice way of putting it. Music that requires no Botox. A little excerpt from the Unwrinkled Classical Symphony, the Symphony No. 1 by Prokofiev, written at the same time that he was writing The Gambler, which we're hearing this afternoon from the Metropolitan Opera on CBC Radio 2. Dr. Alexander Tumanov has been kind enough to be in our studio in London, Ontario, talking about this opera and about Prokofiev. And Dr. Tumanov, just by way of wrapping this up, I wonder if you could tell me a little bit about the family story that connects to Prokofiev.
In 1953, my wife was serving time as a political prisoner in one of the north, in the north of Russia, in one of the camps of the Soviet Gulag. Among other inmates, there was the wife of Prokofiev's, Lina Ivanovna Prokofieva. She was one of the most fragile and helpless figures in the camp. And young women, among them Alla, of course, always tried to help her, often doing her part of the hard labor tasks.
Mm-hmm.
Once, at the end of March 1953, somebody read in the newspaper that somewhere on the other end of the world, in Canada, took place an evening dedicated to the memory of Prokofiev. The news was brought to Lina Ivanovna. She read it and broke into tears.
She hadn't known that he had died.
She hadn't known, because Prokofiev died in 1953 on the same day as Stalin. And the hustle and bustle about the death of the beloved leader clouded everything else in the Soviet Union. And the death of Prokofiev and his funeral practically was ignored.
Mm-hmm.
No Soviet newspaper would publish the information about his death. And what Lina Ivanovna read was a reflection of what was happening in Canada. By the way, here we have the Canadian connection.
Yes, it all comes together. It's very circular.
Right. The performance was canceled because of the Russian Revolution. He died on the same day of Stalin, and his funeral was, so to speak, canceled. His death was, so to speak, ignored.
Mm-hmm.
But The Gambler and all music of Prokofiev's are alive. The proof of that is today's performance and broadcast.
Well, I thank you very, very much. This has been most, most interesting.
Thank you.
Okay, I wish you all the best.
I wish you too.
Alexander Tumanov, Dr. Alexander Tumanov. He very kindly took time to come into our studio in London, Ontario today to talk about Prokofiev and about the opera we're going to be hearing from the Metropolitan Opera. That's The Gambler. After the curtain comes down on The Gambler, more music about gaming and a conversation with the English soprano Kate Royal.